Okay, so this episode is a conversation that I had with Padder Collins on Wednesday of the week just gone by, just to talk about his Speak for 15 campaign. I think it's a fantastic idea, and you know, I love how many, you know, pro rugby players and, you know, local rugby players and, you know, everyone is getting involved and sharing it, and I feel like it's a great way to kind of, you know, tackle the stigma in that way. But you know, I really enjoyed this. Thanks a million to Padder for, you know, letting me burn the ear off him for a little bit. I just said that when I saw someone, you know, putting that much effort into, you know, getting that out there and using the World Cup as a platform, I said, you know what, that's the kind of dude I want to talk to. So hope you enjoy. As you can see, I get my little Movember nearly there. Unfortunately, it takes me a long time to grow a mustache, so I just said I'm gonna have to give myself a little bit of a head start, but sure, look. Other than that, this should be going up Friday morning, so we chat a little bit about the World Cup, about the semi-finals. So we will have a Spew Union episode next week, just before the final. So this will be our rugby pod for the week as well. So without further ado, Padder Collins. Is the Inside Trail. Ready? Hey, unreal. I actually haven't had this kind of monster in ages.
Nice. The colour kind of jumps out.
It is, it's really, really nice. Padder, how are you?
I'm good.
It is fantastic to have you on today, and I think it's well worth driving down to Limerick this morning. So I was kind of thinking this morning how or what is the best way for us to start, and I feel like the easiest thing to do is to just jump straight in into, like, so the campaign you've started is Speak for 15.
Yeah.
So before, I suppose the best way to do it would be how did this campaign work? Like, what do people do in this campaign?
Yeah, so I could talk about it first and then go into the reasoning behind it. So basically, I challenge rugby fans all across the world to speak to a friend, could be a brother, auntie, whoever, for the full 15-minute halftime break of any Rugby World Cup game they watch. So it's obviously been run throughout the Rugby World Cup. Mm-hmm. And this is basically to promote communication with each other, strong their mental health. It doesn't have to be a serious conversation. It doesn't have to be, oh, how's your mental health, Dan? It could be just tell the person you're watching the game with, look, I'm here for a chat whenever you need me. It's just something small like that, and then have a chat. Putting your phones away, and just having a good old chat. And basically, whoever you're watching the game with, take a picture with them. Use the hashtag Speak for 15, tag our page Speak for 15 on Twitter or Instagram. Post it and make a donation to Pieta. So you could text Pieta to 50300 for a €2 donation, or you could make a donation through the link on my Twitter and Instagram. Take a screenshot of your donation and include it in your post, and we'll repost it then.
Me and you were just saying as we were sitting down beforehand that it's as great as it is when people are sharing and doing all that stuff, that I think one of the big important things is that people do, you know, take their €2 and put it in the right place, because, you know, your Instagram story is gone tomorrow, you know.
Exactly,
and I feel like, as we were saying, it's these campaigns come and go, but you need to actually buy into the campaign and, like, what are they actually doing? And yeah, okay, I put up an Instagram story and I've said that I'm, you know, open to everything that they're doing, but I feel like people need to actually do it. And you know, well, obviously it's only €2 or whatever, but, like, I think the bigger thing is, you know, actually going to meet a friend and actually saying, look, I'm here. And I feel like you kind of need to do both, because that's kind of what it is promoting. But so how did this come on your lap? Like, why did you decide that this was something that you wanted to put out there and challenge people to do? Like,
so basically, I November we're running similar campaigns of men trying to speak up, but it's obviously a problem for females as well. And I realised there's a really big opportunity to do, you know, a challenge. I kind of based it around ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, you know, people actually doing something different and posting on social media, and it got a really good buy-in, and it raised millions all across the world for that. And I copied that model basically, and really wanted to do something around our communication. And I'm doing it for one of my mates. I found out that he actually uses these services, Piet House Services, who specialise in the prevention of suicide and self-harm, and didn't say a word to me. So this campaign is basically around communication. Like, I don't want to change the outcome, just behaviour.
Yeah.
It could be looking at improving your, you know, fitness. You don't look at the whole outcome. You just look at change, or trying to get better sleep, or trying to get more vegetables for a few weeks, concentrating that variable, taking care of that, moving on to the next thing. And that's the attitude I wanted for mental health, because it's very similar.
Yeah. And then, so I feel like one of the hardest things for people to do is to get past that initial barrier of, you know, how's tricks, how's football, you know, how's whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel, obviously I think girls have that problem as well, to a certain extent, but I think as men, there's just something that you don't, or at the moment, you don't, you know, stop and just say, you know, look, we've been mates for a long time.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know that anything you need, if you want to talk about anything, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I feel like that it seems like such an easy thing to offer to someone and to say.
Yeah.
But I feel like so many people don't really know that support system is there.
Yeah.
And they just choose to deal with that in their own head. And that can be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know about yourself, but, like, personally, like, sometimes just things, random things could just get me anxious, and I could just end up being overworked and overthinking and over something. And then, you know, it's only when someone says to you, look, are you having, you look a bit stressed, or you having an alright day or whatever, and then all of a sudden you've offloaded and you've talked. And, you know, anytime you ever unload anything, there's a sense of relief, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I definitely love this campaign, and, you know, obviously we were meant to do this 2 weeks ago, but you know, yourself, you were kind of dealing with your own injuries. So can I ask you for dealing with your own, like, is being injured a bit shit?
Very shit, yeah. I've been actually very good for injuries throughout my whole life. This is my first major one. Like, in the past, I've only been out for, like, 2 weeks max, I'd say.
Yeah.
I've never got surgery, so it's been a big bummer. I did my ACL, MCL, and cartilage in one big bang in a rugby game. And I've always had an active lifestyle. I've always been training a few days a week, either gym on the pitch or an off season. I try to do, like, last summer I did CrossFit, try to do something different, and love walking my dogs. Benji and Joey. Oh, Benji, he's gone. RIP.
RIP.
It was a lovely Cocker Spaniel. I won't get into that, get too emotional. But I've been always very active, and it was, see, the ACL is funny. I just had to keep weight off it for a few weeks, which is awful because I couldn't do anything. And but I did have to strengthen up the leg again before surgery in December, so I could still gym away. So at least I get my gym session in once a day. So
yeah,
it keeps me tipping over. But it's way more than gym or training. It's just way more than training for your rugby performance. Definitely clears my head a good bit. I love doing it in the morning, having a cold shower after, and just, it really sets me up for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were also saying what your recovery period for like an ACL injury is up to 8 to 10 months, I think.
8 to 10 months, yeah, after surgery.
Yeah, that can be a daunting
exactly,
road
yeah.
to take.
Yeah, it could be, I'm in my final year in college now, so it could be a blessing in disguise
yeah,
to put my head down. But as I said, it is a big blow. After surgery, I think I'm only on crutches for a week, and then I'm able to walk around and gradually go back into the gym, try strengthening up again. So it's not the worst.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's obviously a really long period to be out of rugby, because I've been playing rugby since underage.
Yeah.
So yeah, but like I think this campaign has actually really helped me though. With the ACL, you know, you can set goals once a week, try and get better at this exercise for a few weeks, complete that and move on to another one. So there's still, you can still set goals. It's very similar to the rugby season, you know, taking care of one task every few weeks, so you know, it keeps me taking over anyway.
Yeah, I think as well the big thing that the Speak for 15 campaign is that it doesn't have to be that like you're meeting up and your half time discussion has to be, you know, look, I have clinical depression, or look, my auntie just died and I'm going to, it can literally be like, look, I've been fucking rehabbing for like 6 weeks now and I'm fucking
exactly yeah
and I'm agitated and all this kind of shit. And it's the small things that I always think are the, can turn into the biggest things. Because like, I always find that like, if you get into training, there's like one or two of the lads who, like, I've obviously got a head that like, if I'm in a bad mood, you can see I'm in a bad mood, and they're like, alright, and I'm just like, yeah, you know what, I'm actually just fucking having a bad day, like,
yeah,
and I'm just, I don't know what it is, like, I'm just, something irritated me earlier and now I just can't seem to make it, you know.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah,
I think not enough people would deal with those small things and just kind of compartmentalize them into, ah, fuck, it doesn't really matter, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's only a case of when something really happens where you've got so much other shit that you haven't dealt with, that's when I think people have these, you know, breakdowns where they just don't have, you know, enough, you know, emotional intelligence, I suppose, to be able to deal with these kind of things. Like, I think like emotional intelligence, I think it links in extremely well with this campaign, in that whether it's understanding your own emotions or understanding someone else's emotions,
yeah,
like that should be kind of what it's all about, is, you know, giving each other a bit of help.
Exactly, you know? Yeah, I think there's a big emphasis on the other person as well. Like, one big task is speaking about your emotions and bringing it up in a conversation with someone that you trust, so a family or a friend. And but I think there's a really important emphasis on the other person. Like, if you're like, for example, myself, you know, I was really close to a few people when I was younger, and you know, we went to, you know, different schools, and naturally just grow apart. But like, you know, if you ask them to meet up and you feel like they're ignoring you,
yeah,
and like initially you just think, oh, this fella, I don't know what's the story with him, I'm going to just leave him off. But you know, if you think back for a second, there could be something deeper that could be going on. And it's, I think there's a huge emphasis that you just need to bring it up sometime, be like, oh look, we were really good friends one time, and you know, I know we've grown apart, but you know, you could just ask him, oh, have you been doing okay lately? Yeah. Just a simple sentence like that could go a really long way with someone.
Yeah. Oh, no, I definitely agree with that. Even in, you know, as you say, from personal experience, like, it's just when you think of, like, just lads that you just don't hear from as much anymore, and you're kind of like, I wonder how they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're that person who's kind of isolated themselves and obviously dealing with shit, I think to get a message or a phone call off someone who you obviously used to be, or probably still are, you know, good friends with, I think that can be a fucking, like, a light in that little bit of darkness that people can find themselves in that loneliness, and that when they see that, you know, someone else is looking out for them, and they're like, oh, like, and you know, I actually might chat to him, and I might, and then like, I remember there's like, I have a couple of friends who have dealt with shit in the last kind of year or so, and the first time that you ever speak to them about it, you don't really, you get the bare minimum and you get this, and you know, some people don't really take well to like, oh, you're only, I've been dealing with this for fucking ages, and some people can be kind of like, you were supposed to be my mate and stuff, and which can be kind of hard.
Yeah.
But I think you always have to just be that person who's willing to try and help.
Exactly.
I think more men need to do what you're doing, and you know what I'm trying to do, in that we just need to step up our game a little bit, because as you said in the stats that you put out, you know, a man kills himself every 40 seconds.
Yeah.
40 seconds, like. You know, when you think of all the, you know, brothers, fathers, sons out there, like, it's just bizarre to me that this is still a massive thing based over us not dealing with shit. Like.
Yeah, and another reason, actually, I forgot about my campaign was social media as well. I forgot to mention that. So, like, the big thing about my challenge is putting your phone away for the 15 minutes and just having, given someone your undivided attention, just for just a device-free chat, and you never see that these days. Like, if you're going for, you know, a cheeky mocha in Starbucks, and you know, you ask a friend, "Oh, man, let's get a coffee," and they just go on their phones, and you know, they're basically just saying to you, "Oh, look, I've more important stuff going on," and like, it's just, I think it's just frankly rude, to be honest, on some occasions, and.
It's a bad habit, and it's definitely a bad habit that I have, is that, like, you know, you feel a vibrate, you're like, oh, but I have to deal with this right now. But, like, realistically, that person on the other end is just sent you a message or whatever, and then put their phone down and gone to do whatever. And that's one thing that I struggle with, is that I always feel like I have to be available and, like, respond and, you know, be there, which is something that is definitely one of my issues, I would call them, but I think it's just something that we're kind of lucky in, that we're just above that generation who are really glued to it.
Yeah,
you know, like, I've got three younger siblings, and the younger two, like, welded to the phone, like, an iPad, and like, so I'm kind of glad that we're kind of slightly above that we didn't have that when we were, you know, like, I didn't get a phone until I was in like sixth class or so.
Yeah. We still had a chance to play, you know, 45.
Yeah.
Younger. Like I say, they don't even play that these days.
No, definitely not. Sure, I remember, like, you go out and play curbs, like.
Yeah, all of the goals.
Yeah, whereas now, like, people just sitting on the phone, just like, one thing that I find quite strange is the way the kids learn to communicate now.
Yeah.
That it's not, you know, these face-to-face, like, learning emotions and learning to read people or whatever. It's literally, like, Snapchat group chats when you're, like, 9 and 10. And, like, you know, online PlayStation where, like, you're just, like, instantly responding. They're just like, fuck you, fuck this. And that's really just why, I don't know. But I think the mobile device thing, about putting that away, because I feel like that this campaign is a lot about the face-to-face and the kind of human emotion that it is in actually talking about something.
Yeah.
So definitely I do think that is it's a really important part of it. But yeah, so you hit a milestone in your donations recently.
Yeah, hit over 2K earlier this week. Yeah, so
that's
really proud of that.
Just keep going.
At the start of the campaign, I had this really cool launch video, and I got a huge following, and I raised, I think, about 500 in about 2 weeks, and it started to level out throughout the group stage games, but I was, in the last 2 weeks, I've been off my brace, and I've been walking around to various companies around Limerick City, and I've got a huge buy-in. I've raised over 500 last week, and like, companies, I've been sharing it on, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and like, everyone's just DMing me, "Oh, could you come in for a photo and we'll give you a small donation?"
That's good.
Like, at the start, I was the one kind of giving cold calls to companies. I got into Holmes & Manley solicitors in town, and that's what really kind of kicked it off. They I basically asked them, oh, do you have any other kind of companies in mind that I could go around to? And they sent around this email, and about three or four companies come back to me.
That's great.
So yeah, it was really good. And a big part of that as well was through my social media. My ex Irish 20s manager, Amanda Craig, she works at Irish Rugby Union, and she runs a few social media pages, and she really helped me come share content and give me good ideas what to post. And she really helped get my page out there. And one of my mates, one of my mom's mates, but I'm really good friends with him as well, Paul O'Brien, he works out in Mary Eye. And he ran my Twitter page, so he was DMing Paul's people at the start. That's when I was kind of cold calling people, and he got so many people on board. So I just wanted to give them a mention because they did really good work.
No, definitely. It's always nice to say thank you when people are, you know, obviously, you know, helping.
Exactly. That's
the best way to put it. And then you were at the county council thing as well.
Paul O'Brien actually messaged them as well, and they invited me in for, they have a monthly meeting, I don't know why, but they have a big meeting anyway once a month, and all the councillors around Limerick came in, the mayor was there, and there were students from third year journalism in UL, so there was a big crowd there, and I just made a short speech, and got a picture of my sign, and
infamous sign.
It's been around Limerick a bit now, and then I got a few donations, so I sent around emails to all the councillors. So yeah, it was really good success.
It's good. It's great that it's starting to, you know, pick up a bit of traction again. Because as we were saying, you know, it's hard to, when something has a bit of a natural lull.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, but this not, can I not grow a little bit more? Can I not push it a little bit further? But it's obviously nice that now that once kind of companies start to buy into a little bit more, it's definitely easier to grow, because it's obviously hard to grow a donation pool and be like, can I have €2?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas obviously, you know, when you get a couple of companies involved who are willing to, like, you know, to buy into, you know, a campaign, like, that's such an important campaign, you know. And one that, you know, it's, the World Cup ends in 2 weeks, you know, so have you, like, what's the, is there a goal to hit by the end of it, or is there a...
Yeah, I was actually talking to Amanda about this, and we were saying to each other, like, it's sort of silly to, like, delete the page and get, like, so many, like, famous followers that follow me, and just be like, okay, guys, I'm gone. And, like, only a few days ago, this student from Cork, he messaged me saying how much of an effect this campaign had on him. I made a post.
Yeah.
And that was just awesome. Like, there was one of his fellow students took their own life, I think the year before, and they obviously saw firsthand how it affected everyone in school. And he was asking me, oh, Patter, since your campaign, I've really been trying to ask people how they're feeling and stuff. Mm. And, like, I knew this campaign definitely spread awareness, but when I actually can promote actions, that was actually so heartwarming when I saw that message.
That'll make you feel really good.
Yeah.
And
I said to Amanda as well, oh, we have to keep this going after the World Cup, and maybe, like, keep promoting messages, but really try pick it up throughout sporting events.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, target, you know, just Christmas in general. Try to speak to a friend during this Christmas time.
Yeah.
For the championship, the hurling, whatever. I'm not sure if it's 15 minutes at halftime, but hopefully we'll say there is.
But even if you're 15 minutes or, you know, outside of your match, do you know, like,
exactly.
I feel like there's directions that you can bring it, that there's definitely a demand for it, and there's definitely, I think, you know, it works, you know. Well, to be fair, in most rugby games, probably in pro rugby, I suppose, it's 15, but I've never played a game where it is 15 minutes break. Like, so I feel like those chats, though, like, you know, you could, you know, if you're just out with a friend or something like that, you could even just be like, let's speak for 15. But I know that sounds a bit weird, but like, I feel like it definitely is something that you can do outside of rugby and outside of sport. You know, because I feel like for some people who don't watch rugby or whatever, they're like, what is this campaign? I don't watch rugby, I don't want
to
do this. But it's like, it's not really the point.
Yeah.
That I think it can definitely be brought outside of that, and I definitely think that you will find a way to do that. It sounds like that you're determined for this to work. So I'm excited to see how it goes for you. But with that in mind, with the World Cup on, what did you think of the quarterfinals last weekend?
Yeah, very disappointing. It was gas. Like at when they beat Samoa, everyone was like, "Oh, New Zealand, not a chance." Write it off. And then, but like a few days beforehand, I think RFU released a video of Joe Schmidt, but all he's done, and you know, it was nice music, and everyone was like, geez, I think we can actually do this.
Yeah.
And it was kind of building up. Like, everyone was really excited. And it was obviously disappointing for the lads, but it was just a few passes didn't stick. And there's none worse, you know, giving away a try from a knockdown ball and just kicking it through.
Oh, like, when Barrett scored that try, I was like, but it was just something so, like, I think Sexton had gone. And Kearney had just overrun by maybe, you know, half a metre, and then he just like, once that try scored, I was like, you know what, actually I'm done.
Yeah. And especially when Sexton had his kick into touch, you know, a great touch line, but
and then Moanga oh, I was like, on the 5 metre, you're like, nice Sexton, oh what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just small things like that.
Yeah.
It was big game changers like that, could have been just a mall over try there easy. Yeah.
It makes you really respect the All Blacks, though, in that, you know, they may have not been on their best form coming into the World Cup, but it just shows they're big game players, big tournament, quarterfinals. You know, I feel like everyone in New Zealand was probably always confident that they were going to beat us.
Exactly.
Whereas I feel like as a country, we're kind of like, yeah, we could beat them, but I don't know. Whereas it's just, I feel like that confidence with them is just like it's bred into their culture.
Exactly.
And of the other games, did you have a particular one that you?
I thought the English and Australian game was going to be really exciting, and from the first half, Australia were trying to play out their own half, trying to do fancy stuff, never cleared the lines. I think they gave away two tries from failed exits, which is just a huge kick in the hole.
Yeah.
And yeah, they never really got back into it, but I was hoping that would be a good one. But then Wales and France, that was insane. France just
the card at the end.
The red card at the end.
Yeah.
It was a massive change in the game. But like, Wales never got out of second gear. That was the funny thing. And France were all over them. Their offload game. Like, when they're offload stick, they can be the best team in the world.
Yeah.
It's when they just lose the ball and stuff like that, they could be the worst team in the world. But all their passes were sticking, but the red card obviously killed them in the end.
And then what did you think of the Japanese and South Africa, the last one?
Yeah, I was actually trying to study during that game, but from following the Twitter feed, Japan really kind of gave a draw in the first half, and but you could see the South Africa had a 6-2 split on the bench, and I think their main goal was actually not to play but kind of stop Japan playing
and just play their game.
Exactly.
And
just brought to their own level, and they obviously were successful.
I think that was the biggest mistake we made against Japan, was us playing their game of rugby, and I feel like we just didn't play enough of ours. And then I feel like once you lose to Japan, your World Cup's kind of on the back foot, and then you're kind of like struggling. But and then so your semi-finals, then what do you think England could put up the All Blacks?
Whoever wins that game is definitely favourites for World Cup easily. I'm hoping there's definitely a good contest anyway. I hate to see someone trashing the other, but I definitely don't see it that way. I think I have a feeling England will bully them out.
You think so?
For some reason I think they have been
phenomenal.
Yeah.
To be fair, like,
and England have been aiming this for the last 3 years, definitely. Down being them, I think, since Twickenham back in 2015 or something like that.
Breezy.
And a feeling will do it, yeah.
Yeah, and then your other side, Wales, South Africa. Do you think Wales could put a shock in? Or do you think Wales could be... We're saying if Davies is back, that'd be a huge...
And you meant Gareth Anscombe, is he totally gone?
He's gone, yeah. I don't think he even travelled at all, to be honest.
Yeah. I've a feeling Wales can't turn that performance around from last week, though.
Yeah,
I think South Africa and England in the final.
And do you think England will win the World Cup then?
I think so if they stay fit. Like I heard a stat. There's like, is this the last 2 years? Is this the first time the Vinopolo brothers and Tuilagi have been starting on the same team?
Tuilagi has had a serious time off pitch and dealing with injuries. And like, I remember every time I'd be like, oh, he's on the team. She knew, like, oh, he's off injured.
Yeah.
Like, every single game, you're like, okay. But he's come into great form, and you know, they have some serious ballers. Like, I think the combo of Tom Curry and Sam Underhill
at
breakdown is just sick.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah, like, they, like, up against Hooper and Pocock in the quarterfinal, and like, they didn't look like that they were playing against, like, you know, a veteran duo of the breakdown. Like, they looked comfortable. Like, Tom Curry's 21.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
it's insane.
It's surreal. Like,
and like, they've really cool heads in them as well. They're not just fiery young fellas, especially Underhill. Like, I feel like he's just very quiet on the pitch for some reason, but he absolutely kills people then in the tackle.
Wow, sick him. So I feel like we should go into our segments.
Sounds good.
Right, so do you want to give me your life hack?
I've actually based this around my campaign and trying to restrict my social media.
Yeah.
So I've recently bought an alarm clock for my alarm, obviously, when I wake up. Just I keep my phone downstairs, and so when I get up, press the alarm clock. Have my breakfast, whatever, and don't. I have a quick flick through my phone, see if there's anything important for me for college, but apart from that, I just put it away and don't really look at it until I get in. Because I think just starting your day off with social media, it just really slows me down.
Mm.
And that's another thing about social media, besides from being antisocial, it really slows down your day. And I just love being proactive throughout the day.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I've only started the last few months, just bringing in an alarm clock and just not facing the screen straight away when you wake up. I think, it's just a small thing, but...
Yeah, that's a good one, definitely.
Yeah.
100%. Right, so, your random questions, right?
Okay.
What would be the funniest thing you would fill a piñata with?
Avocados. I don't know, it's kind of Mexican, I don't know.
Yeah. What is the most fun thing that someone could put in their backyard?
I say a swing. Like an adult swing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you obviously see these kids, you know, hugging all their kind of small swings, but like a big manly swing.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, an elderly swing.
Yeah.
But just, you know, a good old...
Sturdy,
good old fun swing, love them.
Okay, what looks delicious but tastes terrible?
Looks delicious. What have I had recently? I haven't had an olive, but they kind of remind me of grapes, so they kind of look nice.
They look like grapes. If you had to replace your hands with any objects in your house, what would you replace them with?
I love like little clippers. I love kind of playing with them, especially when I'm cooking. You know, if I'm only cooking like I don't know, like chicken or veg or something, and you know, you actually don't need like a clipper, but I just love getting it out and playing with it.
Yeah.
Especially in the barbecue, they're fun and. kind of like pinching people as well, like a crab, you know, they'd be
crab.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah, fair. And okay, the last random question is, what is something that most people find easy but you find quite difficult?
Find easy, I find difficult. I say, you know, I'm used to like digital clocks now,
yeah.
But you know, if you look at the kind of old fashioned kind of hands, you know, you take a few, it takes a few seconds to see what's going on down on that clock face. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's the first thing.
All right, so we move on to the trivia then. Right, so I have 10 trivia questions here right now. The high score on the podcast is 5.
Oh, shit.
So they're usually quite hard. I think there's 4. Tom Young is one of them. And Tom's dad is another one of them.
That can reach 5, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's your aim, is to beat them. So without further ado... which European river flows through 4 capital cities and forms the borders of 10 different countries?
The Nile?
The Danube.
Never heard of that.
Okay, in American football, what is the nickname for Baltimore?
The Balties.
Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the potbelly pig is a breed of domesticated pig originating from which Asian country?
Asian country, China.
I give you one of them.
Is India Asian?
Yeah, it is. Vietnam. Okay, which story begins with all children except one grow up?
Say it again.
Which story begins with all children except one grow up? Think about that for a minute.
So it starts out from children and then
all but one grow up.
So do the other die?
No.
So do they just stay young? Or
I think he stays young.
Is it like kind of a childhood kind of story?
Yeah.
The only ones I could think of was Goldilocks.
Something about not growing up.
Not growing up. Did Jack and Jill die? You know, did one of them die and the one didn't grow up? Or?
I actually don't know. Yeah, it's Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah.
Did Jack and Jill die?
Okay, right, so moving on to our fifth question, and run 0. Okay, so what name is given to wild feral dogs native in Australia?
Oh, I'm a second half man, you know, so in Australia, wild dogs.
Yeah.
Is it a hyena, is it?
No. Go on, try again. Are you a second half player?
Wild dogs.
Think of a really Australian word, like.
A dingo. A dingo, yes,
yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I give you that.
It's a word of those.
Yeah,
so that's
okay.
One.
Yeah, alright. Just because I feel like we could get to the bottom with 0.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the oldest university in the USA?
Ones on top of my head, but the only ones I know is Harvard.
Yeah, it's Harvard.
Is it Harvard?
Yeah,
oh yes,
it is Harvard. Yeah, yeah.
See, I was trying to. Yeah.
Okay. What does the E represent in E equals MC squared?
In E, what the, does the E stand for in?
E equals MC squared.
MC squared. Equiv or eggs egg or I'm trying to word it out to see your reaction.
Fair.
I don't have a clue. Eggs.
It's energy.
Energy.
Okay, so how many sides does a rhombus have?
Oh, a rhombus. 1, 2, 3. So it's like past triangle, past the square, past the end. Is it 7?
Oh.
Rhombus. It's like. A pentagon has 5.
Yeah.
I think it's. Is a rhombus another word for a square?
Similar.
4.
Yes.
Yes.
Took you a while, but yeah. Okay, you got there, okay.
So am I on 3 now?
You're on 3 now, yeah. Okay. Alright, so what is the oldest football club in London?
Football club. I think they're in the cheeky. Yeah, they're in the Premier League now anyway. A sport Arsenal, I'd say. I'll go for them.
Fulham.
Ugh.
Okay, so which national population was projected in 2011 to overtake China as the largest populated in the world?
I'm actually doing globalisation, the economics at the moment. Yeah, China's been going really well now in the economy. But we're looking for population. I think that's another Asian country, isn't it? It's, I think, India?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 4.
4.
That's nice.
See, I was a second half man, really.
You are a second half man. You're top half of the board now. Yeah. Like, I feel like anyone who gets over 3 in these questions, because they are quite hard,
yeah.
I think is a success.
Do you have the same ones every time?
No.
Oh, you change them up.
No, I have to change them. Sure, otherwise you just watch one episode and you're like, I know all the answers.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to keep everyone on their toes. To be honest, man, I really enjoyed this today, and I respect the shit out of everything that you're doing.
Cheers.
And keep doing it, because you know there's a lot of people out there who are sitting on their hole doing nothing about it, and they know it's an issue. And hats off to anyone who's getting up off their ass and trying to change the way the shit is being done with and dealt with, because it makes me upset to see the shit that happens to people when they just lack a little bit of communication.
Exactly,
a little bit of just people to just vent and have feelings and be human, you know?
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you want to say about the campaign before we...
I think that's about it, really. Not many people know about it. I actually got a shout out from Jamie Redknapp as well. One of my mates, Niall Saunders, he's with Harlequins at the moment.
Yeah.
And he did a video about my campaign, and Jamie Redknapp came across it, and he shared Niall talking about it. But I was like, Jamie, come on, I'm over here. You know, it's not Niall.
Yeah.
But it's all for a good cause, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of the main fella that can be shared.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I remember I saw Artie Svea share it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh shit, Yeah.
So, I've been trying to DM the All Black Sleds and the English Sleds, who I think one of them will get to the final.
Yeah,
so,
the
longer they stay in it, the more kind of people will get behind it. And I've been on to Artie and Joe Marler, he shared it as well. But it's kind of annoying with the lads who are in the World Cup squads. They're very restricted on what they post.
Yeah. I'd say their phone time's also a bit down as well.
Exactly, yeah.
The media and that kind of stuff.
So, but yeah, hopefully they can send me a message when they get home anyway.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, well, definitely. Well, I wish you the best of the next couple of weeks. And then whatever happens afterwards, I'm sure you'll nail it regardless.
Yeah.
So, until next time. Bam, bam, bam.